CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Suburbia, where I grew up in the 1950s and 60s, and now Reconquista is the declaration by a distinguished columnist for the Financial Times. Not only in America, suburbia reconquered by the former urban dwellers, but also in London to testify to the statistics, also clearly in San Francisco. And if you measure who's moving into Bozeman, Montana, who's moving into Austin, Texas, you would say they come from large cities. One particular one, San Francisco, another is mentioned Los Angeles. Is this all dots on a map, or can we connect this phenomenon? I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, and this is the Scholar Report, looking to the future, the undiscovered country. Chris, a very good evening to you. The statistics first. We deal with them and then ask, do they add up anything? This from London. The city's residents snapped up more than 60,000 homes in the United Kingdom in the first 6 months of 2021, the highest ever recorded in all the tracking years. Deals by Londoners particularly accounted for 8.6% of all purchases outside the capital. I know that the statistics also support that people are leaving the big city of New York. That's me. Now it's the pandemic. Now it's work. Now it's the question of the disruption of city life by the pandemic. I'm thinking of the crime and the unhappiness in the closed storefronts. However, you travel the country widely, and you have a workforce that's distributed throughout North America into Europe and Asia. Do you see a trend towards suburbia or exurbia, and do you see this lasting, or do we go back to the big cities once it passes? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think what you see is really two things that are happening. One, over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, as the internet, high-speed communications, 5G, have enabled people to communicate and to connect from home as if they were in office. So as technology has advanced, the physical presence of the office may be less necessary because people can work and be productive and accomplish their jobs in many, many industries just as effectively remote as being in the office. So that's point number one. Technology is the unlocker. Point number two, if you're in a high crime, high tax area, a San Francisco, a New York, and you're looking at in the pandemic what could be several years of continued challenges of lockdowns, reopenings, re-lockdowns, do you want to spend a lockdown January in Manhattan or a lockdown January in South Beach? Because you can move in the U.S. and you're very portable as a worker, the ability to go to lower tax, safer jurisdictions with better weather certainly has a gravitational pull towards the South or towards the more rural areas. In the East Coast, that's Florida principally. On the West Coast, that's Idaho, Montana, that are seeing explosive growth from Californians moving in and saying, if I'm going to be stuck in a pandemic quarantine or lockdown, I'd much rather be in Montana in a 4,000-foot house with a beautiful view than an 800-square-foot apartment in L.A.
Except for those few months when the snow flies, Montana is gorgeous. And I'm told from colleagues in Bozeman, Montana, that it's a boom town for people moving in and rebuilding or building anew their homes in the gorgeous setting, except for when the snow flies. However, I puzzle if this is national, if this is continent-wide, Chris. The big cities, yes, but your experience with Dayton, do you see a phenomenon of people leaving downtown Dayton or suburbia growing or people moving into the region from other high-tech cities, even in Ohio?
You saw in the Midwest and many of the Rust Belt cities that as you got through the 80s into the 90s, as the economy was changing from heavy manufacturing to new types of industries, that there was a flight from the cities, and the cities became across many of the Midwestern states pretty vacant and had some significant challenges. But now you're seeing huge resurgences, whether that be Cleveland or Dayton or Detroit, where in those cities, the new generations are pouring back into the inner cities because of that quality of life and lifestyle, number one. Number two, on an order of magnitude, the cost of an apartment in Dayton in the city center versus Manhattan or San Francisco is orders of magnitude different. So you're seeing people being able to choose and have those opportunities to live where they want, how they want, with technology saying, hey, I might do my same job in Dayton as if I were in New York, but pay a heck of a lot less tax.
Now, you and I are engaged in communication information technology. And so the faster speeds and the confidence in the technology, I'm looking at a MacBook and a backup of that MacBook here, and a power system and a backup of the power system to stand independent. All of that is available to the information technology workers. Is that now generally available or coming available to other disciplines? For example, manufacturing. Do you see a decentralization of manufacturing so that the major workforce can leave city center or the industrial parks and move to exurbia, move farther away?
I don't know that technology necessarily detaches people from the manufacturing process. What I do think you're seeing is with the pandemic, with the global shutdowns and the huge disruptions in shipping, you're seeing across many, many industries now a complete reevaluation of supply chain and understanding that maybe China as the world's factory is neither logical, practical, or financially efficient. So you're seeing a tremendous amount of reshoring. That may also bring back new industries and new development within the U.S. where factories that had decamped for China 20, 30, 40 years ago, now between tariffs, shipping delays, transit costs, and lockdowns, in those disruptions, you're seeing, hey, maybe it's not a bad idea to actually bring that back into the U.S. and reinvest in U.S. manufacturing because the costs and the headaches are comparable, and it may be something that just restarts that U.S. manufacturing business.
New York City, where I've lived, except for these last months of the pandemic, where I've lived since 1970. So we're looking at 50 years, half a century. I'm beginning to impress myself how long I've been there. Okay, fine. New York City was the place to be for those 50 years. I prospered there first as a novelist, and then I turned to broadcasting. But the culture of the city made possible what I do, and at the same time attracted other similar pursuits, such as the arts, such as the invention of what you'd have to say, city living, people to rebuild apartments, people to function in a city that increasingly was younger. This until the pandemic. Again, it could be younger, because older people are most vulnerable to the pandemic, and we've been advised to leave first. So are we going through a bad patch here, or is this a future course? In other words, Princeton, New Jersey becomes much more attractive than Brooklyn, New York.
So I'm not old enough to remember the full history, but from what I understand, if you look at New York pre-Giuliani versus post-Giuliani, New York comes and goes in cycles, and as that pendulum swings from maybe those that might be tough on crime to those that are a little bit more liberal on crime, the key points of the quality of living in the city will come and go. New York is still a world-class city and a tremendous destination, but when you look at, in a pandemic environment, if everything is shut down, if Broadway, if other things are no longer available, if the great restaurants of the city and the great things to do are limited, do you want to pay the tax and the toll to be able to live there? And most importantly, I think in everyone's view would be, if you don't feel safe in that city, you're going to move to somewhere where you do feel safe. So is that pendulum with the upcoming mayoral elections going to swing back to a more law and order basis, or does it continue to be problematic, and does that drive people in or out of the city?
We have less than a minute, Chris. Your business, which is information enhanced by software that makes possible to aggregate information, is it likely to prosper in suburbia and exurbia as it prospered in an urban environment?
All technology points are about, or all technology companies are about, unlocking potential within people. So the ability for technology to connect people and talent to markets on a global basis is what's really interesting and what drives. So wherever those bright people are, technology will unlock that skill and will continue to be used as a tool to help harness that human talent to be more and more productive anywhere on the globe.
You see Canada, 15 seconds. Is this all the same for the Canadian authority?
Canada is still in a quasi concerned or lockdown environment. It seems to be opening slower, so it's the U.S., but maybe a couple weeks behind.
Chris Weigel. He is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scholar Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.